from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello VOI listener, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma, I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. African countries choose Bandung Spirit as a compass for South-South cooperation. Chile and Indonesia to conduct a series of investment negotiations after the new president's inauguration. I am Ahmad Faisal, now the news in detail. Some African countries choose the Bandung Spirit or the spirit of the 1955 Asian-African Conference movement to be the compass for South-South cooperation. This was pointed out by the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, at a press conference at the media center of the Second Indonesia-Africa Forum and High-Level Forum on Multi-Stakeholders Partnerships in Bali on Monday.
Dan alhamdulillah dari diskusi tadi pagi.
Thanks God, from the discussion this morning, Spirit Bandung remains part of the agenda. I said earlier that several countries even stated that the Spirit of Bandung would be a compass in navigating development efforts and cooperation between southern countries.
Moreover, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi stated that in relation to the cooperation in southern countries, Indonesia continues to be committed to being a bridge in defending the interests, equality, and justice for developing countries. While for the Bandung Spirit, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that on the anniversary of the 70th Asian-African Conference Summit, Indonesia plans to organize a platinum jubilee of the Asian-African Conference next year. Occupancy rate is one of the Indonesia's main reasons for tourists from Africa, as data shows African tourists stay longer and spend more during their visit. That was stated by the Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy, Sandiaga Uno, during a press conference at the media center of the Second Indonesia-Africa Forum and High-Level Forum on Multi-Stakeholders Partnerships in Bali on Monday. Therefore, nation seeks for more visits from Africa.
Travelers from Africa do stay longer and they spend more into the local economy. We believe that the low-hanging fruits would be to bring more tourists from Africa countries to Indonesia.
Meanwhile, the second goal of Indonesia is the creative economy export, both products and services. Minister Uno saw that Africa is rich in potential for both tourism and creative economy, such as hospitality management and fashion design. Therefore, Indonesia aims to tap deeper into such a great potential. Indonesia and Chile are currently working to increase and expand trade cooperation after the signing of the Indonesia-Chile Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or ICCEPA, in December 2017. After the signing and implementation of the ICSEPA, Indonesia and Chile signed a joint statement on the launch of investment negotiations of the ICSEPA or joint declaration regarding the launch of ICSEPA investment negotiations in June 2024. Chilean Ambassador to Indonesia Mario Ignacio Artaza Loyola, during a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Monday, pointed out that a series of investment negotiations will be conducted immediately after the inauguration of the new president and vice president on October 20, 2024. According to him, the two parties will first agree on the steps to be taken and followed by a series of investment negotiations. Mario Ignacio believes that a series of investment negotiations within the ICSEPA framework will attract many companies and entrepreneurs of both countries to invest. Currently, the investment negotiation process has not been implemented, and it will definitely be done after the change of government in October. We can do a mapping, an orientation of what this process means after October this year. Therefore, the more business people and companies in both countries will see the attractiveness of investing. Moreover, Ambassador Mario Ignacio has conveyed that Chile will offer Indonesian business people and companies to invest and cooperate in the mining, renewable energy, agriculture, fisheries, and construction sectors. Mario also added that investment and cooperation in these sectors are mutually beneficial investment and cooperation because the two countries have many similarities. President of Zanzibar Hussein Mwinyi wants to learn from Indonesia's tourism sector. This was revealed by the Indonesian Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Sandiaga Uno to journalists at the Media Center Second Indonesia Africa Forum and High Level Forum on Multi-Stakeholders Partnerships in Bali on Monday. According to Sandiaga, Zanzibar President Hussein Mwinyi conveyed that he wants his country to learn from the management of Indonesia's meeting, incentive, convention and exhibition and hospitality sector.
Kemarin saat bertemu dengan Presiden Zanzibar,
yesterday, when I met with the President of Zanzibar, they wanted to learn two things from Indonesia. One is mice management, because Indonesia has been successful for the G20 ASEAN Summit, and they want their hospitality talents to study in Indonesia. Moreover, specifically for the hospitality sector, the minister conveyed that the ministry opened opportunities at the Bali Polytechnic of Tourism located in Kampial Village, Nusa Dua. According to him, the Polytechnic campus already has facilities to accommodate foreign students who take short courses, non-degree programs, and degree programs. Indonesia will hold the 2024 National Sport Week in Aceh and North Sumatra from 8 to 20 September 2024. Tourism and Creative Economy expert of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nia Nishaya, in a press briefing in Jakarta on Monday, conveyed that Bank Indonesia predicts that after the holding of PON 21, Aceh's economy is expected to grow around 4 to 4.8%. In addition, according to Nia, PON 2024 will also have a positive impact on the creative economy sector and increase tourist movements.
This event will certainly have a positive impact on the food and beverage and culinary sectors, and is also predicted to increase the number of guest visits, including around 20,000 athletes.
Besides, Nia Nishaya further conveyed that the ministry supports the implementation of PON 2024 Aceh North Sumatra through side event activities by supporting several regional events in Aceh and North Sumatra. In addition, according to Nia, the ministry will also support PON 2024 by conducting publications in owned media, collaboration in making tour packages with online travel agents, and assisting the opening and closing ceremony of PON 2024. Let's come to international news. The United Nations Support Mission in Libya said it held talks in Tripoli on Monday to help resolve a central bank crisis that sparked a blockade of oil production and threatened the worst crisis in years for the major energy exporter. As reported by ArabNews.com, the standoff was triggered when Western factions moved last month to oust veteran Governor Sadiq al-Kabir and replace him with a rival board leading Eastern factions to shut down all oil production. In its statement, UNSMIL stated the consultations were concluded with significant understanding and the two sides agreed to submit a draft agreement to their respective chambers for review with the goal of finalizing and signing the agreement on Tuesday. At least 13 people have died in the Philippines due to Tropical Storm Yagi, while schools and government offices were closed in Manila and nearby provinces on Tuesday because of expected bad weather. As reported by CNA.com, Yagi, locally known as Entang, made landfall on Monday in the eastern town of Kasiguran in Aurora province, knocking out power in the municipality, disaster officer Elson Guargo said by phone. Yagi had sustained winds of 75 kilometers per hour and was expected to move northwest over the South China Sea. That's a newsline. Listener, today's commentary has a topic: preventing mpox from becoming a pandemic. Monkeypox outbreak, mpox is starting to become a global concern. Since 14th August 2024, the World Health Organization, WHO, has upgraded the status of the mpox virus to a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, which is of international concern. The condition makes some people worried that mpox will also become a new pandemic after COVID-19. Before being revoked in May 2023, COVID-19 also had PHEIC status just like the current mpox. The PHEIC status is the highest level of alert from WHO, which aims to accelerate research, funding, international public health action, and cooperation in tackling the disease. As quoted from the Gajah Mada University website, mpox is a zoonotic disease caused by the monkeypox virus, or MPXV, which belongs to the orthopox virus genus. Mpox cases are endemic in Western and Central Africa. However, since May 2022, mpox has become a global concern as cases are spreading in non-endemic countries outside Africa. The disease can be mild with symptoms lasting 2 until 4 weeks, but can progress to severe and even death. In Indonesia, the first case of mpox was reported in October 2022. The Indonesian Ministry of Health revealed that the number of cases of monkeypox in Indonesia has reached 88 cases during 2022 until 2024. Some of them were 74 cases until 2023 and 14 cases in 2024. Seeing the number of mpox cases in Indonesia, of course, the Indonesian Ministry of Health doesn't remain silent. The ministry has issued a circular letter that regulates the precautionary measures and prevention of this disease. The public are encouraged to implement health protocols such as washing hands, wearing masks, and avoiding physical contact with infected people or animals and contaminated materials. In addition, to anticipate the spread of the mpox virus to Indonesia, the Ministry of Health has also implemented a policy for migrants entering Indonesian territory to fill out the Satu Sehat Health Pass. Hopefully, through this prevention, the mpox outbreak can be controlled and its impact on global health can be minimized. Well, listener, that was the commentary read by Ahmad Faisal.
Start today in history with September the 3rd, 1945, the Indonesian Red Cross formed. In Indonesia, every September the 3rd is celebrated as the Indonesian Red Cross Day. The Indonesian Red Cross or Palang Merah Indonesia, abbreviated in Bahasa Indonesia PMI, is a national association organization which operates in the social and humanitarian sector. It was formed on September the 3rd, 1945 by President Sukarno. The Red Cross or PMI began its activities by giving assistance to victims of the Revolutionary War for Independence of the Republic of Indonesia and the return of Allied and Japanese prisoners of war. Turning to September the 3rd, 1971, Qatar's independence. Qatar became an independent state on September the 3rd, 1971 after declaring the independence on September the 1st. Qatar is a country in the Middle East which is located on a small peninsula on Arabian Peninsula in West Asia. Even though Qatar's independence date falls on September the 3rd, Qatar National Day now is celebrated annually on December the 18th as a national commemoration of Qatar's unification in 1878. The holiday was established by a 21st June 2007 decree of the then Crown Prince and heir apparent Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Al Thani. And today in history with September the 3rd, 1981, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women comes into force. The Convention of the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women is an international treaty adopted in 1979 by the General Assembly of the United Nations. This treaty is considered an international charter of rights for women. It entered into force on September the 3rd, 1981 and has so far been ratified by 189 countries. That was today in history.
kau sudah mengantarkan bola ke dalam keranjang di atas sana. Tinggi, semakin makin tinggi kau melompat. Cepat, semakin makin cepat kau melesat. Mengayunkan tangan yang memegang bola erat. Menghantam bibir ring keras menghentak.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia invites Global South countries to strengthen solidarity in facing global challenges. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opened and led the second Indonesia-Africa Forum and the High-Level Multi-Party Partnership Forum on Monday in Nusa Dua, Bali. In his opening speech, he invited African countries to be more solid and capable of becoming drivers of change in the midst of a world full of challenges. The president highlighted the uncertain global economic conditions due to geopolitical tensions, and he also regretted the decline in international solidarity in facing global challenges, the diminishing spirit of multilateralism, and the strengthening of polarity and fragmentation. President Joko Widodo emphasized that developing countries are the most affected by this situation. This is reflected in the achievement of the Global Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, adopted by all United Nations members in 2015, which has only reached 70% of the target. According to him, with only 6 years to go until 2030, which is the agenda for SDGs, the impact of this failure is felt primarily by millions of people in developing countries. The president said that to achieve more equitable and inclusive development for developing countries, new strategies and tactical steps are needed that focus on achieving the SDGs. Therefore, the Indonesian head of state emphasized 4 main points. First, achieving the SDGs targets must remain the main focus of the global development agenda. He added that the SDGs achievement agenda needs to be aligned with the national and regional development priorities, including the Africa 2063 agenda, and supported by multi-party partnership. Second, Indonesia is committed to being part of the global solution. Indonesia is always at the forefront in defending the interests of the global south while being a bridge builder in fighting for equality, justice, and solidarity in accelerating the achievement of sustainable development. According to the president, this commitment has been consistently carried out by Indonesia since the Asia-Africa Conference 69 years ago in Bandung. The third point is Indonesia's determination to partner with all countries, especially with the African region, as the key to the global development agenda. According to President Joko Widodo, the results of the Indonesia-Africa partnerships are very real, with trade volume increasing rapidly and various trade agreements reached. The president added that the 2024 Indonesia-Africa Forum has recorded business agreements worth $3.5 billion, almost 6 times the agreement reached in the first forum in 2018. The fourth point conveyed by President Joko Widodo was the need to revive global solidarity to improve South-South cooperation as well as North-South cooperation so that they can complement each other in overcoming global challenges better. In closing, the president conveyed the plan to hold the Platinum Jubilee of the Asian African Conference next year to commemorate the 70th anniversary of the Asian African Summit. The 2024 Indonesia-Africa Forum meeting was attended by around 1,400 participants. The head of states who attended included the Vice President of Zimbabwe, President of Liberia, the Prime Minister of Timor-Leste, and the President of Rwanda. That was my Indonesia Today.
right here, baby. Break it down, break it down. Vidi, come on.
Tiada kejutan pesona diri pertama ku jabat jemari tanganmu biasa saja masa pertalian terjalin sudah ada yang menarik bayang-bayangmu tak mau pergi.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Bali, the tourist destination choices, which is not only the beaches. Bali also has wonderful waterfalls. One of them is called Tukak Cepung Waterfall. This waterfall offers a unique and captivating views because the water flows from the top of the cave. It is located in Penida Kelot Village, Bangli Regency, and is within Dalam Penida Kelot Temple. From the center of Denpasar, Tukak Cepung can be reached by an hour and 20 minutes drive or around 40 kilometers. To enter Tukak Cepung Waterfall, it costs 30,000 rupiah or about $2 per pax. This waterfall is considered as hidden waterfalls because it takes around 20 minutes walk. Tukak Cepung Waterfall is located within canyon flanked by rocky cliffs. So to see this waterfall, you must enter the cave first. This waterfall has 15 meters of height and located under the cave. The depth of the water is not so deep, only around 30 centimeters, so it's safe to play water underneath. Listeners, besides enjoying the freshness of Tukak Cepung Waterfall, don't forget to capture the beauty of this waterfall. There are many photo spots there. One of the spots that often chosen is at the large rock covered with moss. It's because the sunlight shines directly from above, so it looks exotic. It's recommended to come at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Indonesia time. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak an Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology. Today's topic is
di bau-bau, di bau-bau,
which means in bau-bau. You will listen to a conversation about
why,
which means
mengapa, mengapa.
Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a tenun or woven cloth crest woman in bau-bau. Chris asked why many women in bau-bau are very skilled in making tenun or woven cloth. Let's listen to their conversations.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Well, after listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic, why, which means
mengapa, mengapa.
We will say it 2 times slowly and please repeat it after us.
Saya, saya,
which means I.
Mengapa, mengapa,
which means why.
Banyak, banyak,
which means many.
Perempuan, perempuan,
which means women.
Pandai, pandai,
which means to be skilled or good at.
Menenun, menenun,
which means weaving or making woven clothes.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving?
Tradisi, tradisi,
which means tradition.
Percaya, percaya,
which means believe.
Membawa, membawa,
which means bring.
Kebaikan, kebaikan,
which means goodness.
Bagi, bagi,
which means for.
Keluarga, keluarga,
which means family. In this conversation, you hear the expression
mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun? Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Which means, why are many women here skilled in weaving? In the expression, there is the word
mengapa, mengapa,
which means why, is used to ask for the reason or explanations about something. The phrase
bagaimana ceritanya, bagaimana ceritanya,
is actually asking about the story behind something. Let's listen to another example of using
mengapa, mengapa,
which means why.
Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan? Mengapa masyarakat Buton gemar makan ikan?
Which means why do the people of Buton like to eat fish?
Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal? Mengapa harga kain tenun kamuhu mahal?
Which means, why is kamohu tenun cloth expensive? Kamohu is a woven cloth from Buton Island, Southeast Sulawesi. Kamohu is an intangible cultural heritage from Indonesia. On the other hand, there are many variations of woven cloth across Indonesia, such as terfol from Papua, pandai sikek from West Sumatra, ulos from North Sumatra, and endek from Bali. The Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Mengapa banyak perempuan di sini pandai menenun?
Menenun menjadi tradisi bagi perempuan Buton. Kami percaya menenun akan membawa kebaikan bagi keluarga.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about
Mengapa?
Which means why. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Bye-bye.
Tidak.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Kepahiang Bengkulu by Novia Ambarningrum and Andy Pohan. The song is typical Bengkulu Malay song, and according to the title, Kepahiang is one of the cities in Bengkulu. The lyrics invite everyone to sing through Malay rhymes. Another story from Kepahiang Bengkulu is about a man's desire to a woman that unfortunately the woman already owns someone else. Well, listener, here is the song Kepahiang Bengkulu by Novia Ambarningrum and Andy Pohan. Happy listening!
Kepahiang Bengkulu, jalannya berliku-liku. Marilah berdengar.
Voice of Indonesia.
Don't